I'd like to turn the time to him. We welcome him. He's going to share with us today about the kingdom of God, particularly about the peace. The peace.
Thank you, brother. Ah, I'd like to introduce my friend Greg, who came. Greg Hulse, you met, you know him and Camille. We've been friends for quite a few years. And so, well, thank you all for having us here. We're just thrilled. I didn't see the thing go around for money. You said that we're going to take an offering. Where was it? Oh, we have to take it back there. They don't pass it around. Huh? You know, I feel like the preacher who, that when they passed the offering around, he put his, he was sitting on the front seat with his son, and the plate came by, and he put a quarter in it, and he went around, and at the very end of the service, there was only a quarter in the offering. At the end of, they took the offering, and the son who was watching this whole thing said, "Daddy, if you'd have put more in, you'd have got more out." So we like to give. We love to give. So, yes, I was raised in Mill Valley, born in Fresno, but raised in Mill Valley. Beth was raised down in Saratoga. So we've, back when they were cheap, my parents' house that I was raised in cost $8,000 in 1948. And we visited it long after we moved out, and it was $1,750,000 for the same, remodeled a little bit, but it was basically the same, was the same structure for, it appreciated a little bit. So, but, so yes, I understand you're learning about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. So as we pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on," where? Earth. Where is that?
Here.
Right here, as it is in heaven. Give us this day and forgive us and all those things. And I'm not downplaying any of those other wonderful things about the kingdom of God, but I'm going to talk about one portion of it today. I'm going to talk about my pretext is who? My pretext is Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not the things you do. It's not the things you wear. But it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Okay? So some people boldly say, well, joy is one third of the entire kingdom of God. Now, I wouldn't necessarily say that, but it is a major part of the kingdom of God. And in this scripture in Romans 14:17, there it is. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So today, when I felt led of the Lord to speak on peace, it was really right in line with the kingdom of God message. Okay. So what is, and I'd like you to look at 1 Peter 5:7. We're going to first of all look at what the opposite of peace is, which is cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Has anybody ever used the Amplified version of the Bible? So it's the only version that was written basically single-handedly by a woman. I don't know if people know that, but she took the, it's called the Amplified version because she went through and she was a Hebrew and Greek scholar, and she said, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Have you ever shared that with somebody? And then they say, oh, I believe in Jesus. So it must be saved, right? I believe in Jesus. No, I don't think so. The devils believe and tremble, but she translates the John 3:16 as, for God so loved affectionately, like, I don't know the first part, loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in, relies upon, clings to him should not perish. So she is definitely amplified it, but but every time, and I'm not a Greek scholar, every time I've gotten out my Strong's Concordance and looked up a word like believeth, every time I do, she's right on the money. The Amplified version is right on the money. But she's hit it again and again and again. So this version in the Amplified version, I'm going to read it just as it's written there. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. So the opposite of peace is worry or anxiety. And what is anxiety? So I look at those three things. First would be anxiety. Second would be worries. Third would be concerns. So what is an anxiety? What's an anxiety? Oh, by the way, you can talk and make comments and make questions and all that stuff. I do not mind. I don't have to have a monologue. So if you wanna chime in here, as long as you keep it short, I don't want to have to sit you down. Does the pastor sit you down if you get too in this chair? You know what I mean? Have to sit somebody down and say, okay, thank you, that's enough. not you. But so by all means, if you have questions or comments. Anxiety. I look at anxiety as the physical thing. You know when one time I was supposed to teach a class at College of Marin, I was supposed to give a final, and it was at Christmas, the teacher of the class I was substituting for, he'd gone to Mexico for the whole, it took a few extra days and went to Mexico where he was building a house. And I went Christmas shopping and I walked in the door at home at around 7 o'clock and Beth said, oh, I thought you were teaching tonight. And I immediately felt sick to my stomach. It felt like I had, you know, where you're kind of, where when you get out of a thing and you look way down, I don't know if that does that to you, but I kind of get a sick feeling in my stomach when I'm at hot and high. But I was physically sick. I got to school, there was this whole thing, Mike, we waited, and their names were on the board, and I spent the next 2 weeks calling everybody. I gave a test at a McDonald's. I gave a test. You know, I gave as many tests as I could because I had completely forgotten to give the final of a psychology class at College of Marin. Completely forgotten. But what did I feel? I actually felt a physical. It was a physical thing. That's what anxiety is. It's not that I shouldn't have gone visiting, you know, trying to make amends, but I actually felt the physical burden, the worry. I think that is a full-on worry, where it didn't do me any good to feel sick. It didn't help the situation at all to feel bad. It was totally anxiety. It was all me. Okay? The second thing is all your worries. And so the worries, I think of the worries as when I'm thinking ahead. Anxieties are the feelings, but when I'm thinking about tomorrow, you know, pastor has a great opportunity here. It's going to be a missed opportunity to think the negative things about your surgery coming up. Right? He has a wonderful opportunity to worry about the future and project an evil outcome. He's got a wonderful opportunity to worry about how that surgery is going to come out. And he can research and find all kinds of things to agree with that it's hope. Now, you all know hope is the confident expectation that good is coming. That's what hope is. You're that in the future, I have a hope for this. And I'm hoping for the good to come out of it. Well, worry is the opposite. It is faith or hope. I shouldn't say it as hope, but it's like I'm going to expect the worst outcome in the future. Whereas hope expects the best outcome, worry expects the worst outcome. Now, does that affect your anxiety? Of course. And then what was the third one? Concerns. Concerns are the valid things. Like, let's say we had a problem in the church. You would all be concerned how that would affect this little community, your church community, and the bigger community around you. We should be concerned. We should know that there's positive and negative things ahead. We get, you know, when we fall in love, our heart beats faster and all kinds of things that are somewhat anxious happen. But we're to cast all of that upon the Lord. We're to cast all of that upon the Lord. Now, I'm really here to talk about prayer. And I'm so excited. I would love to go to Kansas City House of Prayer. You know there's an app on your phone that you can get, and you can actually tap in right now to that prayer room. Well, not now, of course. Well, not when you're in church. But you can tap in to an app right now, and that service at IHOP is going 24 hours a day. They're just worshiping the Lord. Worshiping the Lord. Well, I want to talk about prayer for a minute, because it says here in Philippians 4:16, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication let your requests be made known to God. So what is the first step of prayer? What is the first step of prayer? What's the first thing? Or when Jesus sent out the 70 and sent out the 12, what did he tell them to do first off? He said, when you enter a house, this is in Luke chapter 10. He said, when you enter a house, first say what? Anybody know? What's the first thing Jesus said for those people? They were going out. Jesus was coming to town. So let's say Jesus was coming to Elsa Brandy or Ilia. Pastor would send out all of you, two by two. You go knock on doors. You'd go and you'd tell them that Jesus was coming. Tell every town where Jesus was coming, he sent two people. He sent everybody two by two to go out and tell them that Jesus was coming to town. He didn't just show up and they say, who's this? But what was the first thing? They'd come to a town, they'd find a house that looked worthy. I don't know how they did that. They find a house that looked worthy. They would go in and they would say something. Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. But what would the end? But listen to this. This is weird. And if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And then you go preaching, and what do you tell them in the neighborhood after this house is, and you've had this experience where your peace came in and lived there, dwelled there. Then you go out and preach and heal the sick and raise the dead and cleanse the lepers. And what would your message be? The kingdom of God has come to you. That'd be what you'd say. As what you just did. You brought the kingdom of God. But your peace. So you came in here and you'd walk in the door and you'd release your peace into this building, for instance. Into the house. Didn't say it would, and it would rest upon the head of the household. And your peace would remain there. But if he wasn't a man of peace, what would happen to your peace? It would come back to you. What is peace? It almost feels like something you can touch, something you can lay your hand, feel, something you can feel as you enter a place. The atmosphere changed when they got there. So when you pray, you have a serious issue happen in your life, something that really needs prayer. And I've had a number of them this month. This has been a very stressful month. I've had some marvelous opportunities to worry. I've taken some of those opportunities to worry. Should I say that? Is that okay to say that I haven't had perfect peace over some of the things? Because I've had some serious issues, family issues and other issues. We have a little vacation cabin in the Sierra Nevadas that my mom bought for $500 in 1946. And it's in a beautiful forest. It's a gorgeous forest. And we have about 5 pine trees.
They're about this big around
in our yard. And every one of them died in the last 2 months. There's a pine beetle that the drought has weakened their resistance. And it's completely wiped out hundreds of trees in our little town of 60 houses. And so that was a stress. And there's been family stress and all kinds of opportunities. And we pray. Do you pray? Do you pray for things like your family? Do you pray for things like your children? Do you pray for things like, you know, problems in the church or problems at your job? Do you? What's the thing you do before you pray? Be anxious for nothing. So I think what stops a whole lot of my prayers and yours, and I don't know you, Greg's the only one I really know here, and I think that there's things that before you pray, before you're even going to get an answer, yes, there are times when God just answers in spite of our unbelief and our attitude, but the first thing you and I need to do when we pray is to get a hold of the fear. Get a hold of that concern. Get a hold of that worry. Get a hold of that anxiety. And get rid of that first. Because Jesus said, cast your cares on me. Cast your cares on me. Cast your cares. And so if he said, does Jesus tell us to do stuff we can't do? No, he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are weary, and I will give you rest. He said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I you my peace. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. So when you have an issue, I think, second only to unforgiveness, the worst sin of the church is worry. Forgiveness is by far the, you know, Christians think unforgiveness is okay. Christians actually think, oh, well, she deserved it. Do you remember what she did? You know, we tend to think that unforgiveness is okay. Well, we also tend to think that worry is. To me, it's one of the big sins of the church. Fear, worry, anxiety. Jesus clearly said, come unto me, all you that labor. Take my yoke on you and rest. Be at peace. Jesus was in the boat and there was a storm. Before he ever spoke to the storm, what was he doing? He was sleeping. Was he at peace? Now, I want to ask you, is being at peace and being unconcerned about things like this, does this mean you don't work? Does this mean you don't do stuff? Jesus was busy, 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 but yet he always seemed unconcerned. There's just a few times in Jesus' life where Jesus seemed to be concerned. Remember when he saw Jerusalem laying in the hands of the devil himself, and he wept, and he saw the city, he was concerned. So there's times for concern, but when Jesus prayed, he never, ever seemed to pray out of fear. He didn't say, oh God, we've got to do something now. No, he'd take care of that. He spent all night taking care of that. And so I want you to change your attitude. Now, I don't know, again, I don't know any of you, so I don't know how you live and where your strongholds of fear, anxiety, and worry, but I want you to stop thinking about sin and worry about it's okay. It's not okay. Worrying is not okay. Worry is flat out heinous, ugly sin. And when you've got a sin, and I'm sure that a couple others of you like me have had some major fault zones, things, weaknesses, things in your life that you don't like. And when the pastor says, just think of the last big sin in your life, and it comes right up to the front, and you know exactly what. But when we have those kind of issues, we recognize them, we confront them, we resist them. We don't just say, it's okay. Because grace is so wonderful and God loves me no matter what. My sin is okay. It's not okay. And we contend against it. We fight against sin. Sin is something we don't just love, or we don't just say, oh yeah, how about this one? I'm just a I speed all the time. I'm just a lead foot Christian. My preacher, he's just going 25 miles over the speed limit wherever he can. Not him, of course, but you know what I'm saying? And we sort of say that's okay. Well, I want to parlay that. You know, if ever there was a sin that's okay, that would be on the low end, but this isn't. This is way up at the upper end. Your worry, your fear, your anxiety is not okay. It's not okay. And it will stop your peace. It will stop your prayers from being answered. It will be like, oh God, take care of this. Take care of this. And then we get up and we say, oh yeah, the trees are all dying. You know, and what am I doing? I was projecting. You know, and I projected. I saw my trees well and healthy. And I still lost them, I have to tell you. I'm sorry. They all died in the last month. They, you know, giant. But I'm still not going to take up the worry for it. I'm still not going to take up the worry for that. And it's going to be ugly, all those stumps. Maybe the next time I go up, there's going to be stumps where there were trees. But I am going to pass up the opportunity to worry about it. So my question to you is, what concern do you have to cast on the Lord? How about you? What things are you worried about? When you cast something on the Lord, that is called, it's a prayer of commitment. What is my commitment going to be? What do I have to cast on the Lord? And the amplified version of that says, casting all your care upon the Lord once and for all. My hands are in your hands, Lord. My children are in your hands, Lord. My job is in your hands, Lord. My worries, fears, and anxieties are in your hands, Lord. And I am going to trust you. I am going to trust you. And I tell you, wonderful people, that is more important toward you getting the answer to your prayer, you giving up your fear about it, you giving up your concern about it, you trusting and receiving the peace of God. That is as important as, and I think it's a huge part of what we call the prayer of faith. To lay down our worry. To lay down our worry. Now, one of the things which I've been gifted in, and I told you the last time I was here, I can lay hands on people and they can sleep. But sometimes as mature Christians, it doesn't work on mature Christians. And I worried about that. What's happening? Am I losing it? Am I losing it? And I think not. I think that there's some things which you need to take the promises of the Word of God and apply it to your situation and pray through and work this out in your own life. Work it out in your own life. Get your own Bible promises. Pray, meditate, hold them in in front of you. Get your own Bible promises and pray through on that. And not just expect the pastor, the elders, to lay something on you. Just like, here it is. Some things we are supposed to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling. Work out our own salvation. And so there's certain things like peace, which you can get people to lay hands on, and it's a wonderful thing, but you also need to take a hold of the own promises of God and do it for yourself and get a hold of it and press into it and receive it. And your entire prayer life, and this sermon or this teaching is not on the prayer of faith. This is like the pre-prayer of faith. This is something you have to get a hold of for your life before you'll ever get to the prayer of faith. Get it so that it's completely in God's hands. It's in God's hands. Does this mean you don't get up and go to work tomorrow morning? Of course not. We work harder a lot of times, but we don't work out of fear. We don't work like, oh man, if I don't do this, I am sunk. Okay? So, cast all your cares and trust in the Lord. Cast all your cares. Change your focus. Change your focus. Do you go and tell, hi brother, how you doing? Oh, if you knew. Oh man, it is so bad. My wife this, and my children that, and oh, and then there's the bills this, and we need to sometimes shut up. I'm a middle school teacher, and I taught in Richmond for years, and shut up is almost always non-productive when you say shut up. You know, it sometimes it works. Sometimes we need to stop talking. So, am I talking faith or fear? Am I talking solutions or am I talking problems? Oh, I just want to share this with you so you have something to pray about, brother. Now listen to this and listen to this and listen to this, and it's going to get worse, but please pray for me. Masking gossip under the title of pray for Sister Susie Bell. She's got this problem. But I want you to really examine your words, your focus. Okay, so it's time, right? We're at the end. And this was actually a message about sin. It's an old-time hellfire and brimstone message about sin. Your sin, which will kill you, is worry, fear, anxiety. And so if you've got some of that in your heart that God brought up, or you just know full well what your fears are, let's say that's sin. So right now, it is sin. Label it as sin. Now we have something to fight. Now we have something to resist. We've identified it, and now let's take it to the blood of Jesus. After the cross, Jesus came and said, my peace I give unto you. My peace. Peace be unto you. That's the first thing Jesus said when he came back from the dead. Peace. Peace. So take that sin of fear. Take that sin of worry. Take that sin of doubt. And say, Father, it is wretched. And I'm giving it to you. I'm giving you my fears. And I'm trusting the blood of Jesus to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I put my worry into your hands. I put my labor into your hands. And I will not worry. I will not miss dinner over this. I will not miss a good sleep tonight over this. And when I do, I'm going to resist it on the spot. I'm going to resist it, and I'm going to receive your peace, and I'm going to resist it, and I'm going to stop talking about it. And I'm just going to receive your peace. Some people recommend thinking of your anxieties as in a big old bag, like a Santa Claus bag, and you just think of yourself as bringing it up to the cross and just laying that bag of anxiety and just laying it down at the feet of Jesus and saying, okay, this is what you said to do. Cast my cares upon the Lord. And right now I cast them. I cast them right at the feet of Jesus. And I'm not going to pick them back up. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fear. I'm going to sleep in the arms of Jesus. I'm going to come unto you. I'm going to give you my heavy burdens, and I'm going to get in the yoke with Jesus. Father, I bring my peace. I bring the peace that I have, and I leave it here. I leave it here. And it will stay. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love. So say it out loud with me. I'm casting all my cares upon the Lord. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor, and I come. I come. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I come, Lord, and I receive your rest. Jesus. And when the opportunity to worry comes back, what do we say? I received Jesus' rest, and I have it now. I receive Jesus' rest, and I have it now. Peace, peace. Amen. So next Sunday, Pastor, when you ask for testimonies, how about You know, Pastor? You know, congregation? I had a marvelous opportunity to worry this week. And it was really real, and I'm not even going to tell you how bad it was, but I received the rest of the Lord. I received the peace.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Steve.